Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Welcome back to the show, our second hour. My name is Greg Bach. I am filling in for Jane as she is on vacation for the next 2 weeks. And we have a wonderful guest co-host for the day, Ms. Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities, also known as BLOC. Yes. You are the executive director. We've been talking about that this morning. And you can be part of the conversation if you have any questions for Angela, any questions for me, any questions in general. We'll do our best. Yes. But you can call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also get our app, and you can go ahead and text us and call us through the app as well. Go to your favorite app store of choice, find the Civic Media app, and you can download it. Call us, text us. And if you're online, wow, I'm 100. If you're online, if you're on the interwebs, whether it's YouTube or Twitter or Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
You can watch our live stream.
Yeah.
You can watch us talking right now. You can see all the faces.
Our faces.
Angela, yeah, you can see Angela does not hold back. She has a terrible poker face. But be part of the conversation. Be part of the show. Love to have you around. And we're going to go right to a call, actually. Eric from Wauwatosa is on the line. Eric, what can we do for you today?
Hello. Answer my question. No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to say, first of all, I'd like to thank Ms. Lang for her efforts in making Wisconsin a better place to live for all of us.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say that I think the Governor Walz white guy taco thing is just self-deprecating humor, the ability to laugh at yourself, and is that so bad? And yes. I believe anybody claiming racism or just white folks playing victim, which is one of our superpowers born out of our need for innocence.
Truths.
The thing I'd like to say is that as a longtime canvasser, I'm seeing unprecedented excitement for the Democratic ticket by both volunteers and the people I'm meeting at the doors. But that said, we're all facing a disaster brewing at the Wisconsin Elections Commission, where Bob Spindell, an election denier, remains in place. He's probably going to refuse to certify the November election if given the chance, and is probably our biggest obstacle to VP Harris winning Wisconsin. And I was just wondering whether BLOC was actively, involved in that fight to remove him or do something to prevent this disaster. And before you answer that, Ms. Lang, I'm sorry, I'd like to say I also read the story from Uppercuts, the barbershop back then, and
yes.
I saved that story. And I've always wanted to return to that barbershop and see how they're feeling years later, and ooh, I still have that intent. So don't anybody take my idea.
That's a good idea. I'm surprised reporters haven't done that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've asked the same question where I'm like, I'm not getting paid, but I'd really like to know what they have to say today. And then lastly is just that, has that individual that you spoke with about, doing a multicultural group, have they come around since, or are they still hurt from not being deferred to? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Eric, for the call.
I appreciate you, Eric.
Eric, I'm not laughing at you. Trust me, buddy. I'm not laughing at you. It's as you asked that last part, the Cheshire grin that came upon Angela's face, which is like, oh, I really have to not say someone's name right now.
Yes. Okay. Love all of that, Eric. Also, shout out to you for like being a longtime canvasser too, because like that, I mean, not everyone can canvas, not everyone can donate, but like being able to find something that you can do to plug in is so important. So thank you, Eric, for doing that. I'm so glad you brought up Bob Spindell, because I've wrote numerous pieces in joint op-eds about this man.
If you don't know who Bob Spindell is, Angela, this is one of the most infuriating things about Wisconsin, and a bit of a beef I have with Josh Call, I won't lie.
Mm.
But go ahead and inform the people about Bob Spindell and the other cohorts, if you want.
So Wisconsin has the Wisconsin Election Commission. If you are a throwback person, it used to be called the Government Accountability Board, the GAB, right? That's where you got deputized, where you could register people to vote, all of that. And the way the Wisconsin Election Commission works, I should know this. I don't. I'm not that much of a nerd. There's a group of people. I don't know how many people are on it. I should know. Whatever. We can look that up. There's a group of folks, but the way that they're on there is they're through appointments.
Yeah.
And so we know who is a Democrat and who is a Republican. It's supposed to be balanced, and the chairship, alternates and whatnot, to be fair. And so Bob Spindell, the first thing that he really got on my radar for is that, he's a known Republican, and I believe he had like a role with like the county party, Republican Party, at some point. And he sent out an email after 2022 where he talked about how they could, quote, be especially proud of the lower voter turnout, specifically in the Black and Brown community. And for me, I'm like, you're a Wisconsin election official. you are bragging, one, about black and brown turnout being down when we are always susceptible to voter suppression and there's attacks on our ability to vote. But also, like, you, again, weird flex. You just said you didn't do your job as a Wisconsin election official. You should be wanting to make sure everybody has the right to vote and we have the highest voter turnout. As a Wisconsin election official who helps administer elections, I know they're going to be meeting about, you know, RFK and all of that, right? If you administer elections, why are you bragging about lower voter turnout in the black and brown community? That was the first thing. Speaking of the recombobulation area and other places, like, there's lots of pieces that I've written on this, including one recently as of this year where we did a joint op-ed with Souls to the Polls and Wisconsin Democracy Campaign about Bob Spindell. We actually held a rally on President's Day trying to call for his removal again. And so what also is important to know is that this man is a fake elector.
Yes.
So that was, I think, one of the big things that got people to pay attention to him. So him being a fake elector, you know, he is able to continue to serve, which is wild, but he also was about to get sued. So all the fake electors had to like sign a thing saying that they wouldn't be like fake electors anymore and how like Joe Biden was like the actual president of the United States. And to avoid legal liability, Bob Spindell and everybody else that was caught up in this signed that, you know. To be clear, it is not because this man suddenly had a change of heart and thought Joe Biden suddenly was the president. He was afraid of legal liabilities, and he is allowed to continue to be on the Wisconsin Election Commission. Then let's also fast forward. Good friend of mine, Nicholas Ramos, who was with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, black man. This is like he looked him in the eye at a Wisconsin election official meeting and was like, "You need to step down for the following reasons." To which Bob Spindell keeps putting his foot in his mouth, had said, I have done, no other white Republican has done more for the black community than me.
Oh my God. Well, Donald Trump would really take issue with that statement.
I mean, right. And I'm like, someone is calling you to resign because you're not doing your job. And you're like, I've done a lot for black people. And he said this, I believe it was in Black History Month. I think it was in February, to Nick, a black man who's calling for his resignation. So that just like, I'm not going to lie. We as organizers, we smell blood in the water. So we continue to renew our calls. Op-eds have been written. But if people are actually interested, there is a website called firebob.com. And that has been around for a while. But we're calling for Majority Leader LeMahieu to remove Spindell or for Spindell to step down himself.
So
it's a lot.
So as you said, Bob Spindell is still serving. His term ends at the end of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely Devin LeMahieu is not going to fire him.
No.
Because he appointed him.
Yep.
And his cohort, Andrew Hitt, who did a fantastic interview on Anderson Cooper, also a fake elector.
Yep.
Here's where, and by the way, I looked it up. There are six members. I thought there was, but there are six members on the WEC.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, I know it's not a lot, but
it's three Dems, three Republicans. And it just, I know that Josh Call has said something to the effect of they're still looking into it and there's still chance that charges will be, but other states have filed charges against these traitors.
Yes.
I don't want to call them fake electors.
Yeah, no.
They are traitors.
Yeah.
They are doing treasonous things to try to overthrow our election and our process and our vote, which is our voice.
Yeah.
So why Josh Call is just letting this sit in the water? If this is Wisconsin nice, I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this, and some people may know a broader thing of I'm speaking out, but I'm not going to get into details. But I think it's wholly, like, we understand everybody is on there as with the D or R next to their name. Mm-hmm. We know that. We understand that. I think it's wholly inappropriate for Wisconsin election commissioners to be able to be as politically active and involved as they are, whether mm-hmm. it is, you know, slamming a candidate that you don't like on Facebook repeatedly every morning, yeah. Or it is being able to be seen at these rallies or to be excited that black voter turnout is down. The partisanness is seeping into the Wisconsin Election Commission. And that does nothing to actually instill hope confidence, I think, in Wisconsin folks, if you have people like this that are overly partisan. It's one thing to know where you stand. It's another to be actively as involved with both. And I say this on both parties. If yeah. people want to, you know, name names, that's cool. I will not. But I just think it's wholly inappropriate that if you are administering elections in Wisconsin, that you are able to be as politically involved and partisan. And maybe there needs to be a bill or saying, like, there's a certain window if you want to be active, since, you know, you are an active person. There is a window. But after this window, you can no longer be, you know, forward facing political, because yeah. now you have to do your job. So I have strong feelings, especially about Bob Spindell. Yeah. I also have strong feelings in general, which yeah. is, I think, why I'm here.
Well, and one of the things too is, yeah, absolutely why. Absolutely why. I told you that when you got here.
Yeah. That's,
well, and also the fact that, you know, someone like Andrew Hitt goes on Anderson Cooper saying, I was afraid for my family. No, dude, you went in this knowing that you were doing a traitorous act.
You got caught.
Yep. You didn't apologize because you felt sorry. You apologized because someone caught you.
Yeah.
And since then, he's gone on to get a job working for a group. Their purpose is reforming government. So tell me how that makes sense in any other universe. The fact that these people who enacted in traitorous activities get to keep their job, get to get hired by other, and probably got a raise.
Yeah.
It just goes along with my sense that there, at a certain, and this is the class discussion at that point.
Yes, yes.
There are no consequences for individuals who raise above a certain class line.
I was just about to say that. I was like, if this isn't the epitome of, like, peak white men who yeah. cause harm and then are allowed to fail forward.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it in the organizing community, won't name names. I've seen it in a lot of places that, like, you can do something so awful, but with the right people, you'll yeah. still find a soft place to land. I make a misstep or I'm a little too aggressive and, like, I don't have that opportunity, no. right? Like, Black women, we don't get a chance to be like, that was a mistake, and still land a cushy job.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild that someone who literally played a role in trying to literally overthrow our government, which could have led to people literally being hanged, the vice president, and then it's just like, sorry, that was a mistake.
We'll keep talking about this. I want to bring up a sentence that Michelle Obama said last week about this. Mark, I see you on the line. Stay close. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your call when we come back. Angela Lang is our guest co-host. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, which is on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Get hydrated. Come back. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, resting and relaxing and vacating. We wish her the best. She'll be back in about 2 weeks. But right now, we're sitting here hanging out. Me and Cal B, the board lord, Dr. Slide. Where did you get your PhD, by the way, Dr. Slide? Just really quick. Is it a University of Phoenix, Harvard, Yale?
It's really small. You might not have heard of it.
Try me.
I was trying to come up with something funny, but my brain doesn't work.
DeVry, that's an old reference. But we have Calvin with us, but we also have the wonderful Angela Lang, our guest co-host for this morning. She is the executive director of BLOC, which is Black Leaders Organizing Our Communities, doing great work for the community, doing great work for the Black community, knocking on doors, sending the good message out there. Now we're talking about the WEC, thanks to Eric's from Wauwatosa calling. We're talking about the Wisconsin Election Commission and our thoughts on fake electors, also known as traitors, not really getting in trouble, but more or less, you know, having an oopsie daisy sit in the corner and we'll see what we can do. We'll rustle you up a job.
Yep.
But right now we got one of our favorites, Mark from Prairie du Sac, on the phone right now. Mark, what's going on, my friend?
Well, as I'll point out again, as I have in the past many times, but when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for President of the United States, Representative of Congress, the executive and judicial officers of each state, or members of the legislature thereof, it is denied to any of the male, and of course it's changed because we've expanded the franchise, it's denied to any inhabitant of the citizens of the United States, there's punishments for that. I mean, we are supposed to have that we select the electors. The electorate selects the electors, and not some self-appointed. And I can't use the words I wish I could right now, but I mean, it is, and it's ironic considering the fact that some nitwit judge decided in Arkansas decided we can have machine guns, but we can't use George Carlin's seven words, who never have killed anybody. But I mean, to hear them, but I mean, it is just ridiculous that Bob Spindell and Andrew Hitt and these guys are in any way not called out as the Stalinist POSs that they are.
I mean, appreciate that restraint, Mark.
Thank you. It's tough. I mean that you know, I'm not a constitutional scholar. That though people have asked me, you know, I've been at events. Hey, you're Mark from the SAC, aren't you? Are you a constitutional scholar? I go, no, but I can pick up a copy of the Constitution or a nice copy of the Federalist Papers, an annotated one, and I can actually read. And I don't want this nonsense of apparently there's a new copy of the Federalist Papers in modern language. You do not just need to see the modern language because it's like Wikipedia. Who knows what kind of, you know, little edits are getting stuck in there to change actually the meaning of things. I mean, our founding fathers, for all their flaws, and they had many of them, actually had some ideas that were based in history and based on the practice of politics, because politics has been being practiced since the times of the ancient Babylonians. Ancient Persians actually had death sentence for judges that took bribes. I mean, that they didn't turn to the Bible, they turned to actual history.
I mean, absolutely, Mark. I mean, thank you so much for calling. We always appreciate hearing from you. I mean, that's the thing, is this topic always whips up a lot of opinion, a lot of fervor, because you know, it comes down to the fact that, you know, these individuals did a un-American activity.
Yeah.
And sought to undo our process of the election, the free and fair election. And wrist slap, not even a wrist slap. There's no wrist slap. It's just like, hey, you should really be ashamed of yourself. By the way, we have a meeting this week. You're going to be there?
Yeah.
It's your week to bring donuts. We got Alicia Saunders on the live stream, first of all, saying, Angela, you are awesome. Speak nothing but facts. And then also chimed in and said, I firmly believe the WEC needs to be completely nonpartisan. I don't disagree with that as well.
Yep.
I don't think you're wrong. I think once you sit on if you sit on that commission, all right, the social media, post about other things.
Yeah.
But you're only doing yourself a favor anyways by doing that. When you entrench yourself so deeply that I just feel like you become unreliable or not someone to be very much respected.
Yeah, because it doesn't instill confidence in me that you are going to be nonpartisan when I see these things all the time. Like, oh, I'm just supposed to know you're a good person and then you're allowed to do this. And maybe it's working now, but like if that is the rule and anyone could theoretically get in this office, someone is bound to abuse that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is so interesting about like the whole fake elector, little treasonous, little cutesy activity that they tried to do, I don't know what they were doing, but like it's so interesting that it came from the same party that is talking about voter integrity or like, you know, voter fraud is a problem. This is why we need to have all these voter suppression efforts. I'm sorry. The only voter fraud I'm seeing is you all registering dead people and you all taking positions on the Wisconsin Election Commission to quite literally overturn the election. Do not lecture me and my community on voter fraud. Period. That's it. I'm done. End rant.
Really? Sure? Are you sure? All right. I think that I really would love to understand Josh Call's.
I'm just curious. I know that there's I'm not a lawyer.
No.
I like to play one, but like and argue a lot, but I'm like, what am I missing of why charges haven't been brought yet? Like, what is the legal avenue? I'm curious. I don't know.
Because it's not a matter of being the first state to do it.
Because other people have done. Exactly.
You'd be the last one to do it. I did. Attorney General Call, if you are listening right now, and I know you are, because we are very important. You can call us, 855-752-4842. And you don't have to be Josh Call to call.
Yeah.
God, that was did I just stumble onto that, Calvin? You don't have to be Josh Call. That sounds like what would be on a billboard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say the line because I don't want the guy to sue me. But, you know, like a injury, you don't have to be Josh Call to call.
Yes.
But you can call, you can text. It's both the same number. It is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
I think people are just curious. Like, yeah. That's the thing is, like, if you see this happening in other states, and I'm not trying to say, like, or not trying to bash, you know, Josh Call's office, right, by any means. But I think it is worth, because I get this question a lot of, and whether it's folks in state or out of state, of, like, how come Wisconsin? I was like, I don't know. And so, like, I am curious. Like, please help me, give me an argument that I can give to other people. Because I think people are very curious when they see other states that have done this. And it's like, well, why not us?
Yeah.
And then I'm sure that office probably knows. Then the political rumors start to run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Give me the reason. Like, I don't care about what Josh's future is and if he's going to run for governor, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to know why we're not doing this now.
I mean, honestly, if you were looking to run for governor, I would
do it. That's just me.
I would just honestly be like, do it. And that's something you run on. You
say, exactly.
I wanted to protect our voting process, our people, our future. And
right.
And you do the crime, you do the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the party of law and order wants, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what y'all love.
Yeah.
And, you know, Republicans, it's just so interesting that the same party that, like, commits these crimes try to be the same party of law and order. Like, I don't. Okay.
I think there's smoke coming out of your ears right now, Angela.
My brain hurts.
Well, we're going to let your brain rest for a little bit, and we're going to pay some bills with some ads, but go ahead. Grab yourself a snack, everybody. Get some water. It's really hot out there today. You gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it going with Angela Lang. We're going to talk about unions next, though. We want to talk about your history in unions.
Yep.
Don't go anywhere. You were listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Call in, text. We'd love to hear from you. Talk to you soon. Stay close. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now, and she'll be back in a couple weeks, but we're happy to have you here today. You're on a special day. It's Monday. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday.
I'm not kidding you. The first hour of this show, I thought it was Tuesday. I just realized it was Monday.
It is Monday.
Woofers. All right, well, it's Monday. And folks, I said it before, and I'll say it again. It is very hot out there. There's a heat advisory. It's about 83 degrees in Waukesha right now.
I just got the notification on my phone about a heat advisory.
And we're looking at dew points or high. We're looking at heat indexes in the upper 90s and into the hundreds. So what we're just saying is stay inside if you can. Please rest. Don't go outside and do work if
stay
you don't
hydrated.
Have to. Stay hydrated.
Check on your neighbors, especially if they're elderly, if they need anything. Like this, again, this is what Midwest folks do. We check on our people.
Yep. And keep your pets inside too.
Yes.
Don't let your dog run around. It's too hot for them to be outside. I don't care if you're like, oh, he likes it. Nope.
It's too hot for me to be outside.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, yes. But yeah, you can call or text. Same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the conversation. But right now I want to talk about something that, you know, we were talking about Black leaders organized in our communities. We were talking about voting, talking about all sorts of things. But one of the things that is in your universe, is part of your existence, Miss Angela Lang, who, by the way, is our guest co-host today because she is the executive director of Black.
Yes.
Your involvement, your working in the unions.
Yeah.
We're coming up on Labor Day.
Yes.
And that's, we're going to have our cookouts. We're going to have our mattress sales, but we want to talk about the importance of unions. And I feel like in the past few years, the union movement has really flipped the narrative.
Yes.
In America, and it's shown the importance at all different levels. So if you can give us a little background on your experience in the unions.
So once upon a time, my first job out of college, you know, as one does, you're like, I'm looking for jobs. Who do I have a relationship with where I've maybe done some work and see if they have some openings? And I had been volunteering on the Fight for 15. And this was in 2012, 2013 era. Wow, a long time ago. And that was when the Fight for 15 really started taking off. Yeah. Fast food workers walking out demanding $15 an hour, which by today's norms is like way under.
Oh, yeah.
It's not kept up. But at the time, $15 an hour as a minimum wage felt like radical and like ridiculous. But I remember volunteering and I started kind of helping out a little bit more. And so I applied for a job. And I applied for a different organization, not knowing their relationship to SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. And they're like, we don't have any openings, but we gave your application to SEIU. And I was like, okay.
Is that legal?
And I was like, sure. And then I get a call from Bruce Colburn.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. You know, you could tell he's like, all right, I see you're, you come out of student organizing. And I did. I came out of student organizing. I was doing a lot of nonpartisan stuff until Scott Walker was elected. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to go protest in Madison. I didn't have a car. I don't have money. And I remember getting connected to AFSCME on campus.
Yes.
And they were like, well, we have the resources to buy for a bus. Can you fill it with students? And that was the extent of what I knew about the labor movement, was working with AFSCME in this like Scott Walker, you know, budget repair bill, collective bargaining fight. And so when Bruce called me, I was like, sure, it's not what I applied for, but okay. And I go in for an interview and I remember having this conversation. I was like, listen, I'm not a union organizer. I have very limited experience in union matters, but I'm a organizer. And if you take a chance on me and teaching me the union side, I think this could translate. And he took a chance on me. And my job at the time as an organizer was to help out with things like the Fight for 15. And I remember working with David Bowen when he was at the county about passing a livable wage ordinance over there. That's how long ago it was. But my job really entailed doing house visits with folks that, you know, we wanted to sign up for the union or we wanted them involved in some sort of way. So the goal is to have this like 7-point conversation to try and get someone to join a union. And it was very interesting through those conversations how people saw themselves political or not. And that really stuck with me. So I was largely working with home care workers and mm-hmm. CNAs and nursing homes, which are largely Black women. And we had a 45-minute conversation about how childcare should be free or how we should raise the minimum wage. And then when it got to the end of the script, when I was trying to make the ask of like, hey, can you donate to our PAC? They would say that they're not political. And yeah. I was like, but you are by the conversation. And so that really was interesting of like people's relationship to power and access to politics and how they view themselves in it. And I think Black women just by merely existing are political in a lot of different ways. And so it was interesting. And that actually formed a lot of, you know, a lot of kind of lessons and learning that I still bring today to Block.
You know, I think that one of the things, and as I said earlier, I feel like the union movement has flipped the narrative.
Yeah.
To a more accepting, and by the way, the idea of a $15 minimum wage, which I feel like we're still fighting for today, is
yeah,
adorable,
right?
Because it should be like $20-$23 an yeah. hour, which I'm sure some people listening right now are going, what?
Well, if it kept up with inflation, it'd be in that range.
Oh my gosh. And the arguments of, well, if they just, you know, those are jobs that you're not going to keep for the rest of your life. Well, why not? I mean, what if someone really likes working at a fast food joint? They find their calling and their enjoyment out of that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to work another job to do it. And
exactly.
It's not out of the realm that a billion-dollar corporation could afford to pay their people more.
Yes.
But that's for another conversation. The union has really flipped the narrative, because I feel like even 10, 15 years ago, to say union was almost a dirty word.
Yes.
It was a divisive word. It ignited conversation. And it had the star-spangling awesome freedomites shaking their fists in the air saying, well, if you don't like it, then quit the job. Or if this, you know, it only, like one of the things that we can talk about, this is the myths versus the truths.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the, I always heard is unions protect the lazy. And I know that's not to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I mean, that's just not how unions operate. That
yeah.
would, structure would work under that kind of
right.
model.
But right.
in your union organizing, which has now led to your just community organizing mm-hmm. work, how have you helped flip that narrative? How have you changed minds to make people say, oh, no, these are very important.
Yeah. I mean, one, I think it's important to know kind of like the timeline. And I just looked up what year this was because, again, I don't know time. I think the first time we started having these conversations about union and class in a very real way was during Occupy Wall Street.
Okay.
And that was in 2011. And, you know, that everybody was talking about the 99% versus the 1%, which I think is incredibly important. But then also, at the same time, it raised people's consciousness, but then it kind of went away. And then you had like Bernie Sanders raise consciousness, and then like he wasn't elected. But like there has been kind of this class conversation, I think, the last few years. And it's interesting because like when we used to get the union just protects lazy workers, or like they don't actually do anything, they just take your money and don't do anything, I would be like, if you got fired from your job right now, whether you did something bad or good, don't you think you deserve to have your day in court? Metaphorically speaking,
yeah,
right. And the union, like, it's the same thing, is that you should be able to have representation against management, especially if they're like a corporation or they're getting all this profit off of your labor. You deserve to have your day in court about your actions on the job. And the union doesn't save every single person. It just allows you to have representation. And so in a way, it's kind of like if you get locked up and you're like, I can't afford a lawyer. Well, everybody is entitled to, you know, their say in court. You may be provided a public defender, for example. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think of it in that way of like, if we understand how the 1% or the man or, you know, management is actually, you know, stealing and extracting our labor without getting anything for it. And, basically treating folks with terrible working conditions, the union allows for that space for people to come together, because it's not just you and your union rep. It is your union fighting behind you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, if, you know, it was a wrongful termination, you get your job back. But then also it shows the strength of what a union can do. And it makes the whole work site more, I think, cohesive. And I think it also makes them stronger together, because if people know, oh, as a manager, I can't get away with treating my workers like this because the union has, you know, 50 plus deep just on this floor alone, you're going to start to change how you treat your own workers.
You know, one of the things it sounds like to me, and this is a conversation I've had with other people when it comes to certain social programs like universal healthcare.
Yeah.
When you look at the topic of universal healthcare, one of the things they always find in Europe, and every structure has their problems, and you can talk about the problem with universal healthcare in European countries, but there is a morale,
yeah,
that happens within these countries saying, I know my country takes care of me.
Yes.
You know, my kid can go to college for an affordable price. Mm-hmm. I have free healthcare. You know, the list goes on. When there is a give and take and it benefits the people, a morale, yes, builds,
yeah,
a positive thing builds. And it almost seems to me that, you know, if you have a good union, the morale you're going to have as a worker, you'd be like, I know that I'm going to work hard. And if something goes wrong, I have someone standing behind, mm-hmm, me. And crazy idea, crazy notion, Angela, I'm breaking ground here, Calvin. If you are a business owner whose shop is a union shop, mm-hmm, and you are not, you know, trying to bilk everything to make the bottom line bigger and bigger and bigger, mm-hmm, it makes you want to run a better shop too, because, yep, you want to have a good relationship with the union,
yep,
a good relationship with your workers,
yep,
because you are a good boss or you're part of a good management team.
Yeah.
So it seems like to me, a non-union person, it benefits everyone,
exactly,
to have this in place.
Exactly. And I think what's so interesting, I think it boils down to, as like during my union organizing, you know, there would be these like mandatory, what we'd call like captive audience meetings, mm-hmm, where they would mandate all the staff, whether it's during their shift or they make them come in separately. They often paid them, but they were mandatory sessions where they would just show union busting videos or whatever. And it's like, if we don't even get into the weeds of like the contract negotiations, what folks are fighting for, don't you see it's a problem when management doesn't even want their employees to talk together,
yeah,
and to organize? Mm-hmm. Like, if they don't even want you building relationships and they're trying to do this divide and conquer, which we've all seen, Scott Walker, Diane Hendricks, you know, divide and conquer.
Oh my
it's literally their tactics. Yeah. And so if they say, we don't want you all organizing against the 1%, hopefully that's enough critical thinking to be like, what are you doing if like I can't even talk to my colleagues and try to organize for better, yeah, working conditions?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, absolutely right. That video, like, it's like 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And it's infuriating to watch because it's just like watching two, you know, comic book villains like talking like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I have experience there, what you're talking about. Like I worked at a video store that is no longer business. I won't say its name. It does rhyme with Schmockbuster, but they sat us down and they played, you know, all of it, the sexual harassment video, but they also played this video that was, you know, here at Schmockbuster, we don't feel it's necessary to have a third party involved in conversations. It should be okay to talk to your manager. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't disagree with that either.
Sure.
In a perfect world.
Yes.
But my manager also sucked.
Exactly.
So I didn't want to talk to her. And I've seen other videos, and it's always built in this beautiful, like, hey, guys.
We're just a family.
Hey, Angela, can we just wrap here?
Yeah.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk right now?
If you had an issue, why do you need to bring in someone else? Why can't we just talk?
You can call me by my phone. You can call me Rick. I mean, it's really, really... I've never been in a union. I've worked in union houses, but for some reason I was a non-rev employee. So but I've watched the unions be strong and watched the unions fight for their employees. On the other side of not being in unions and working for like corporations, you've seen these videos saying, we don't need that. And you're like, no, you're afraid of that. Because you know, if it comes in, you're going to have to pay us more or give it, you know, it's when you tell us we don't need one, my first thought was like, why, how is that going to harm you? And once again, your bottom line, folks, if you are part of a union, if you've been in a union, you want to talk about your experience, honestly, good, bad, or indifferent, we understand it's not the same for everybody, but we feel like, you know, Labor Day is coming up. We want to talk about it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know, call, text, leave a comment on the live stream. We're going to keep the union conversation going with Angela Lang, our guest host for today. Don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm filling in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation. She'll be back in 2 weeks, but we have a great show for you today so far. The wonderful, the talented, the award-winning Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing, our community is also known as Block, is our co-host today. You'll be back next week, too.
Yeah.
I believe we talked about...
It's on my calendar.
I think it's next Tuesday, but regardless, you're going to be back.
You're going to hear me.
That's right. And you actually, we hear you a lot. You're on civic media a lot.
Yeah, so. I think I also have some other stuff for someone else as well for civic media.
Okay.
I think Matt Rothschild is also filling in again. So
excellent. Well, we love having you around because you're fun.
Thank you.
And you are.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's unabashed.
This is why I will drive to Waukesha for you all.
Aw. Well, we were talking about unions as Angela was in SEIU, which is the Service
Employees International Union. The purple ones.
The purple ones, yes. Purples. They have wonderful purple shirts.
It's my favorite color, so I wasn't mad at it.
I wouldn't mind a nice forest green.
I mean, so AFSCME is green, but I also have it's like a different green. Yeah. It's not a forest green. And I hate green, but I the two shirts that I have the most for like sleeping or whatever, I've pulled out an Obama Biden t-shirt from SEIU. I was like, I wouldn't even work at SEIU at the time. I think I just found it in the closet and stole it. Same with AFSCME shirts. Union shirts are union made and are thus the most comfortable to sleep in.
You heard it here first, folks. Folks, if you have experience with the unions, whether you're in a union, you were in a union, you want to talk about the greatness of unions, or honestly, we're not going to tell you what you can and can't say as far as, you know, content, but if you had a not so great experience, we want to hear from you because we believe in unions here are important. We want to tout them. We want to build them up. Call us 855 752 1-800-442-8557-5CIVIC. You can also text us at the same number. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We are on YouTube. We are on the old Twitter. Ye old Twitter. That's what I start calling it.
Ye old Twitter.
As well like as Facebook. And yeah, we just want to hear from you and let know. Bob from Waukesha is calling in. Bob, what say you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm retired. I'm a retired Teamster. I put 33 years in with Local 200
nice.
In Milwaukee.
Nice.
And my son had asthma and he had it pretty bad. And I don't know how many times at night we'd have to go to Children's Hospital with him. And never received a bill.
Mm.
We have our own clinic on 62nd and Blue Mound where the Union Hall is. Mm. Dental and health. When I was, now this is years ago, it was $2 to see the dentist and get your tooth filled or your teeth cleaned or whatever. No, it was $3, I think. And then it was $2 for a prescription. We had our own pharmacy. And right now, I retired, and when I was 54 years old, I have a beautiful pension, plus my Social Security, and I'm living my elderly days the way a person should live it. Mm-hmm. And all these people that are against unions and the right to work law, you know, I get a kick out of people when you talk to them about a union. Oh, I don't want to pay dues. They don't realize how much you get for those dues. And another thing, it used to be when a place was organized and voted for union, they would negotiate with the employer. And if they couldn't reach an agreement, it went to arbitration. Yeah. Well, under Trump, they took that away. There's no more arbitration. So there's different non-union trucking companies and non-union businesses that have voted to go union, and they can't get a contract because the employer refuses to negotiate. Mm.
Bob, thank you so much for calling and telling that story. Yeah. Seriously, those are the things we need to hear.
Yeah.
My father was also a union truck driver when I was growing up. And yeah, I mean, that connects to what we were saying earlier is that you have this entity that's here for you to advocate for you to make sure that you don't have, I mean, I don't know about not paying any hospital bills, but making sure that they're affordable.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you went through, Bob, with your child.
And
my heart goes out to you. And, then inflames my brain to listen to people talk about, and this goes by the notion of like right to work. What an insidious and horribly named idea.
It was right a fun time working for a labor union in Wisconsin during the right to work fight. Yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, trying to paint it as this idea of like, well, you have the right to work and you're going to shake your fist for these blue denim of truth Americans who think that, you know, a hard work and a hardy attitude is all you need. No, you need people on your side. And that's what the unions do. And that's what, Angela, that's what you did as part of it. And, you know, I wasn't part of that union, but I thank you for being a part of that. I know that, I'll be totally honest, when I was younger, had an idea of unions, not based on any sort of real fact. I was a child. But I listened to what people say, and they weren't always the best things.
Yeah.
It has evolved over the past 15, 20 years, and I've seen the people talk about it.
Yeah.
And the passion they have for it.
Yes. Like
you're talking about it, and all the work that you do, Angela, it's wonderful. And I think we need more of it. And they need to get deeper and advocate for more workers. And Bob, I thank you again for sharing your story. So
I've shared this off air, but like, I think Bob's story, it got me thinking more about it. So I worked for a labor union, but I didn't grow up in a union household. And I think there's an assumption that if you work for a labor union, that you have deep, deep, deep labor roots. And as I mentioned before, mine didn't start until college. Yeah. Right. But I understand though. So I talk about this a lot. You know, I was raised by a single white mother, trying to figure out not only how to raise a black child in a city she was unfamiliar with, but when I was in the seventh grade, she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And so what does it mean for her to go to chemotherapy every Tuesday and couldn't afford to take off of work and still had to catch that shift at Walgreens because she didn't have union representation?
Well, we're going to keep that conversation going throughout the week. And when we have you back, we'll probably talk some more union talk.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But you're going to be back next week, I believe Tuesday. But if not, I'll clarify that. But for now, we got to take off. We got to get going. We got to make way for Todd Elba, who'll be showing up at noon to 2. Stick around for the Todd Elba Show. We thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for commenting, texting, and calling. Couldn't do without you. Calvin, thank you for doing what you do.
Shout out, Calvin.
Thank you, Angela, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And stick around to the Civic Media Radio Network. This has been Matt and Aaron Ayer. Have a wonderful day. Stay hydrated. Stay cool, friends.